How in the world is everybody? I'll tell you one thing, it's always good to be able to go away on vacation, but it's always good to come back home. Amen? I was watching them slay the flounder out there. Gary, you'd have been proud, man. They're pulling in 22, 24-inch flounder off of piers all up and down the coast. They can't keep them. I could just see Gary smiling. I thought about you, brother, while I was there. But at any rate, it was good to have an opportunity to take a little bit of time to, you know, get away with family. But it's always a good opportunity to be able to come back, to be able to do what the good Lord has called me to do. And we look so forward to that. Look around, give somebody a wave that says, hey, man, look, I am glad that you're here today. It is so good to see you. If you're part of our online audience, again, we just ask you to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, our minister, our online minister, who is keeping an eye on everything there. As always, if you have any questions, you can post those to Dr. Cazito. He'll make sure, under the banner, you won't see Dr. Cazito. You'll see Central Baptist Church. So if you respond to Central Baptist Church, that's who you're talking to. And as always, we welcome you as part of Central Baptist Church today. We trust that the Lord is going to move in your heart. I know we got lots of things going on, lots of folks that we need to be praying for. Be mindful of those. And let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you, Lord, we're grateful, we're thankful for these moments that we have to just to pull away from the world to experience you and to experience fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as we gather together today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to put aside those things that may hinder us from being able to hear you today. Lord, we know that you want to speak to our hearts. We know that your word is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Lord, today I pray that you would help us to truly give ear to hear what the Spirit would have to say to us. And then, Lord, if there are some adjustments that need to be made in our lives, I pray that you will give us the courage and the strength by which to make those adjustments, to draw closer to you. And, Father, as always, we pray that if there's one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would truly be the day they would give their life to you and experience what true living is really all about. So bless our time, Lord, as only you can. Bless us as we lift up our voices to you in song. Help us, Father, not to go through simple repetitive motion, but Lord, that our words today would truly be a prayer from our heart straight to your ears. Speak to us today as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We sing "I Stand Amazed in the Presence," 547.
Thank you.
right, this morning we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Ephesians chapter 2. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn over there with me to Ephesians chapter 2. It's interesting that sometimes when you get a chance to, you know, to go away, spend a little of that quiet time, sometimes perspective changes, things come a little bit differently. You get a chance to talk with folks, and hopefully, as you've looked, my daily devotion's gotten a little bit longer. So hopefully, I'm not gotten too long that it's not readable. So nobody wants to necessarily read a book for a few minutes in the morning. But you know, when the Lord's speaking in that way, sometimes you gotta bring it out. But today, we're going to look at some passages out of Ephesians chapter 2, and I titled this morning's message, Spectating or Participating in God's Plan for Our Lives. Now, God's got a plan for each and every one of us. Now, the question is, are we spectators or participators? Now, I know that you've heard some things that have been similar to that today, but some people come to church every week, and what they do is they smile politely, but inside they're tired. Inside, they're confused and maybe even a little bit of ashamed, because they wonder, you know, why does my life feel so stuck? You ever been there before? You know, you just feel like you're stuck. And sometimes what happens is you show up and you try to put on that facade that everything is right with the world. You know, you come in and you smile. I mean, your mind is so wrapped up with something else or somewhere else, and then all of a sudden somebody walks up to you, and you can almost see it at times on people's faces, you know, when they're just kind of blank, and then they'll walk up to you, and all of a sudden their countenance changes. They'll smile, and they'll shake that hand. Oh, good morning. How you doing? And they mean it wholeheartedly, but inside there's something going on. You know, they feel stuck. And then, maybe this is where you are today. Maybe you've been carrying something like grief around for a long time. Maybe you have prayed and prayed again and again, and it feels like heaven has just been quiet. You haven't been hearing any response. Maybe you love God, but you don't feel like you're useful in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Maybe you look at other people's lives and it seems like they're doing something meaningful while you're just trying to make it through another day. You ever been there? If you've ever been there, put your hand up. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to look around. I want you to keep your hand up, and I want you to look around. And I want you to do that for this reason, because I want you to know that today you're not alone. There are people every day who are pushing through, and you sit there and you look. There are times that you walk away and you say, I envy that person's spiritual walk. I envy what's going on in their life. And all the while, you feel stuck. You're like, why is my life not progressing along like theirs? Now, again, I don't want that to sound like something that's a bad thing. I mean, obviously, when somebody's life is well, it is perfectly okay to take those moments and to take those opportunities to sit back and say, this is a good thing. You know, they're doing a good thing. Their walk is a good walk. Their talk is a good talk. And I would like to be more like them. Matter of fact, that's what Paul tells us in a lot of his passages. But remember what Paul said. He said, it's not that I have already attained, but he said, you know, walk like me. I'm not there yet, but try to walk like I do. Now, obviously, you know, it'd be hard for me to say something like that. I don't know about you, because that almost seems like a pretty prideful statement, but I understand what Paul was getting at as he was saying that. Now, I want you to know that if that's you today, if you feel like that stuck person, and part of the reason that this message came to my heart is because I've talked to so many people lately that feel like they're in that particular position. They feel like they're stuck. They feel like, what is my usefulness to the Lord? What am I missing? What is taking place? What is going on? If that is you, I want to say something very gently and very clearly to you today, and that is simply this. Your pain is real. Your questions are not sinful. Your sadness is not a sign that you have failed God somewhere along the way. Your confusion does not mean that God has left you along the way either. There are seasons when life feels like you're watching everyone else live while you're standing in the stands, while you are a bystander, while you are some sort of a spectator. You know, you're present, but you're not engaged. How many of you have ever felt that way? You're there. You're like, I'm here. And what was that old expression? A lot of times it's like, the spirit is willing, but the body's not able. You've been there before, probably in a couple of different ways when it comes down to that. But you just feel so disengaged. You just feel like, man, and you don't want anybody to know it, because most of the time you're embarrassed about it. That's generally what it leads to. You're observing, but you're not participating. You know, you know that there's a purpose for you. You know that God has reason for you, and what happens, it just feels like it's just so far away. You know, we brought that expression up many, many times, so close and yet so far away. Yeah, we've heard it, we've used it, and some of us feel like that spiritually. Now, at these moments, you know, it is so easy to wander in your mind and say, yeah, did God save me to just sit here? Yeah, did he redeem me just to watch life go by? The answer to that is no. Now, Ephesians 2, chapter 10, speaks very tenderly into this kind of ache, if that's you, that you're having today. It does not scold a weary heart. And that's one of the things that I love about it, because a lot of times when a person's in that particular position, the last thing in the world that they want or need is to be scolded by somebody. Have you ever been that person? Have you ever been that person who has received a scolding when you're like, and what you really just want to say, or maybe even said, was, you just don't understand where I am. You know, it's not that I need to be scolded right now. I just need a little tender, loving care. I need some help. I need some guidance. I need so many different things. And so, you know, there's not a scolding going on here for the weary heart. And if that's you today, that's good news. You know, it doesn't, you know, pretend that suffering is something that's small, but it does remind us that the Lord is not done with his people. And I want you to hear that today. The Lord is not done with his people. And as a believer, you are one of his people. He has not brought us into his grace to leave us sitting idle. You know, he has saved us for something. He has saved us for something that is real, something that is holy, something that is good. So let's look at the word today. Let's look at this passage. And if you're ever in that position, make a note in your Bible. Put it over in the back, and it says, you know, for the times when I feel like I'm stuck, go over here to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, which reads like this. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're thankful for this verse. Lord, we're thankful for your encouragement. And Lord, today I pray for those who feel stuck. Lord, today I pray for those who feel like the bystanders. Lord, those who truly love you, who truly have a heart, and they truly want to be everything that you want them to be. And Lord, I pray today that you would encourage their hearts. I pray that today they would hear from you. Lord, speak into their hearts, speak into their lives, speak into their situations. Lord, speak into their grief, speak into their excitement. Lord, speak into their depression, whatever the case may be. Speak to them today, Father, as only you can. Encourage us in our walk with you. And help us to always remember, you didn't bring us this far to leave us. So Lord, right now, I pray that you'll help me to disseminate your word in a way that's pleasing to you. And Lord, that when folks hear it, they would hear from you and not from mere man. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this verse is it's a beautiful verse. And it's even more beautiful when you remember what comes before it, you know. Like I say, sometimes I'll take a one passage and preach it, but I always want to encourage you, go back and read the whole chapter, maybe even the chapter before and the chapter after, to be able to get some context for what's going on. But Paul, in the previous verses, has just said that we were dead in our trespasses and that we were dead in our sin. Now, the interesting thing is that dead people do not rescue themselves, can they? A dead person cannot rescue himself. Dead people do not improve themselves, all right? It's kind of interesting because isn't that what we try to do? We sit back and say, well, if I can only improve a little bit, well, are you dead? Yeah, are you spiritually dead? Dead people cannot improve themselves. Dead people need mercy. That's what dead people need, and that's exactly what God gives. He makes us alive in Christ. Then, right after the great words of salvation, Paul says this. He says, for we are his workmanship. All right? That means that your life is not an accident. I love that. So many times people have come up and they say they have no value. Sometimes people say they're not worth anything. And I sit there and I think to myself, you are God's workmanship. You were formed by him in the womb before the foundations of the earth. God knows who you are. God knows you by name. I think that's pretty significant. I hope that you do as well. Yeah, for the person who says, I am nothing, I want to beg to differ with you today. Not according to God. You are his workmanship. He has created you as you are, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have some flaws, and I'll get to that in just a moment because obviously we do. But what that simply means is that your life is not an accident. Your salvation was not something that was random. Your days are not meaningless upon this earth. And if you belong to Christ, you're not merely spectating in God's plan. You have a purpose. Every player on a team has an assignment. I don't know, some of you in here played an athletic event. If you didn't, you watched an athletic event. If you didn't, you had children that might have played in some sort of an athletic event. They played on some sort of a team, okay? When you play on a team, your position has a role. Have you ever thought about that? Not everybody on a football field is a quarterback. You know, in my early days, I'm about the same size I was in junior high school, okay? So what that meant was I was a big junior high school kid. When I got to be a senior, I wasn't big anymore. I was a little guy, all right? So the thing about it is, when I was in junior high school, I was a lineman. I didn't carry a football. I didn't score touchdowns. I didn't run the football or anything else. I was a guy that blocked people from, but I had an assignment. That was my assignment to do. And now let me tell you, we did an experiment one day when we felt like the quarterback wasn't appreciating our contribution to the team one day. We decided it was time for the lineman attention getter. Anybody ever heard of that before? So the lineman attention getter was simply this, that when the ball got snapped to the quarterback, all of us just let our guy go. And about 9 or 10 of them, there's 11 on the team, but the safety didn't get in on it, jumped on the quarterback and just smashed him flat and said, how many yards you got now? You lost 10. Now, you want us to keep on doing that? Yeah, we're an integral part of this team, and if we don't do our job, nobody scores a touchdown. Now, let's make this a spiritual thing. Are you starting to pick up what I'm saying? If you're listening to my voice today, if you are sitting here in Central Baptist Church, you have an integral part of us being able to score the touchdowns God wants us to score. Every single one of us. That should help you to understand your value. Now, you may be sitting here going, I don't know what it is. Listen, I've said this 1,000 times. God did not call everyone to be a preacher, but he called everyone to be that witness. He has gifted people. I mean, there are people that are so gifted in different areas that it almost makes me jealous. I have to be careful that I don't sin, that I don't become envious because of the things that God has given them in the way of talents and abilities to be able to do. You know, I'm grateful. So, yeah, as I've said before, what are the talents and abilities that God has given you? You know, are you exercising them? Are you in the game? Or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Let me make you one promise. Nobody will ever score a touchdown that's sitting in the bleachers. Plain and simple. And you know what? Your team needs your expertise. where you are. And you know what our team is? Our team is Team Jesus, plain and simple. If you belong to Christ, you're not merely spectating in God's plan. You are being invited to participate in it. See, God didn't save you to leave you passive. Now, let's be careful here, because this is where some people get hurt by well-meaning but shallow words, all right? When we hear about participating, you know, we can start to think, so it all depends upon me. Now, I have to do more. I have to prove myself. I have to become useful enough for God to care. Now, I want you to know that that is not the answer. That's not it. This is what this verse means in Ephesians 2:10. It doesn't begin with what we must do for God. Did you get that? And I want us to make sure that if we don't get anything else today, we get this. It doesn't begin with what we must do for God. Rather, it begins with what God has done for us. Do you get that? Did you get it? We're not saved by our works. Salvation is by grace. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not about what you can do for God. It's about what God has already done for us through Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through Him. And because we are saved, God begins to shape our lives for His glory. Isn't that cool? I sit there often and I think about the journey. That's part of the reason why I call that devotional, Strength for the Journey. Because it's a physical journey, and it is a spiritual journey as well. Each and every one of us will be on a spiritual journey until the day that we get to look our Savior eye to eye. Always growing, always progressing, always learning, always moving forward. Then the thing about it is, see, you know, when we're saved, God begins to shape us, and that order matters. I just want you to know that. That order matters. It's what God has done for us. Grace comes first. Always. Always. Plain and simple. Look back at the verse. For we are His workmanship. That word workmanship carries the idea of something that is carefully made. Something that has been crafted with intention. You're not a mistake. Plain and simple, you are not a spiritual leftover. I like that term. I laughed at that term because a guy used that for me one day. He said, I feel like a spiritual leftover. Now, some of you in here love leftovers. Some of you in here don't. I'll make a confession. I don't mind leftovers, but I don't want them the next day. You're going to have to push it out at least an extra day. How many of y'all are with me? Now, there are some people in here, where are my other people? You boring people. I'm going to go ahead and call you that. You'll make a pot of soup, and you'll eat it every day for 2 weeks. And where are those people? Lord, have mercy on your soul. I don't see how you do it, man. And some people, here's the reason why. I like variety, don't you? I like somebody. Again, it's not that the soup was bad, but I don't want it tomorrow, maybe day after tomorrow. It's even better the day after tomorrow. Then you got to be careful, because then stuff starts growing on it, and then it can create some problems too. So you got to be careful about that. But you're not a mistake. You're not a spiritual leftover. You are not a rough draft God is embarrassed to finish. That is not who you are. In Christ, hear me today, in Christ, you are His workmanship. This is what God has created. And it is something that we should be proud of. That when you're proud of something, you take care of it, don't you? When you're proud of something, you want to use it. You take care of it, but you use it. And, you know, there's certain things that I collect and certain things I love to collect. You know, one of those are handguns. And somebody's like, golly, Pete, that's a you know, one of those show pieces. Why don't you have that in a case on a wall? They said, surely you're not going to shoot it. I said, yeah, we'll shoot it. That's what it's made for. Yeah, I'm going to take it out. I'm going to shoot the thing, man. Oh, but that's worth money. It's going to be worth the same amount of money even if I shoot it. And if you don't like it, don't worry, I'm not selling it. It was crafted for a purpose. Let me ask you this. Have you ever done something, you created something for someone to be used? Maybe you made something, and when you gave it to them, they didn't use it? Now, let me ask you this question. How did it make you feel? Now, it wasn't because they didn't appreciate what you did. It's just because their thing was they wanted to protect it so much that it didn't make it to, it didn't accomplish its purpose. Now, I shared with you years ago that I had a coat that I really liked. Man, it was, you know, West Virginia winters can be harsh with the snow, and my dad worked for the railroad, and at the time it was the chassis system. And man, I can still remember that one Christmas I got a coat, and it had the chassis system logo on it. Remember, y'all remember the little cat that was laying down on a pillow? Some of y'all might remember that. Inside, it was furry, man. It had that furry stuff in it. It had the hood that zipped back that became the thing like a cape. Remember that? Yeah, if you needed a hood, you could zip it up and it was a hood. If you didn't, it laid on your back. I adored that coat. I adored it so much that I didn't want to get it dirty. I adored it so much that I didn't want to take it, you know, to put it on and go outside with it, okay? And then what happened was I would take it out and I would look at it. I would see what was going on. I was like, oh, yeah, it's still soft inside and everything else. And then, then one day I looked out and I saw my cousin wearing my coat. And I was like, whoa, hang on a minute. I'm like, what's going on here? And I went straight to my mama and I said, why is my cousin wearing my favorite coat? And you know what my mother told me? My mother told me this. My mother said, the reason that he's wearing the coat is because I didn't think that you liked it, number one. And number two, you can't wear it anymore. You've outgrown it. And I was like, but that was my coat. And how many winters did it not keep me warm? How many times? Because I was too busy looking at it instead of utilizing it. It never served its purpose in my life, but it did in my cousin's life because he wore it out. But think about that. Think about that for just a moment. You know, maybe you have spent years feeling like, you know, a problem to be managed instead of a person to be loved. Maybe people have treated you like a burden. Maybe your own heart has whispered that you're behind and that you're too broken or that you're too slow or too wounded or too ordinary for God to use. But the Scripture tells us otherwise. If you are in Christ, God is not merely has not merely forgiven you, he has claimed you, he has formed you, and he has begun a work in you that he will be faithful to finish. Man, that should be of tremendous encouragement along the way. I sure hope that it is for you. See, that doesn't mean that you never suffer. That's what we have to understand. It doesn't mean that you never grieve. It does not mean that every day feels triumphant. You've been around some people that look that way, don't they? You're like, golly Pete, man. Every day, they're always happy, they're always bubbly and everything else. Let me guarantee you that they have some bad days. You just don't see it. I promise they're a bad day. It means that your suffering is not wasted. And your life is not empty. Even in sorrow, God is still at work. Now, sometimes the most faithful thing that you can do is not pretend that you are strong. You know why? Because see, when we tend to pretend that we're strong, we tend to pretend that to the wrong person. We project it out this way. We want everybody to think that we are spiritual giants and that we are spiritually strong. And the problem is that too often we do that with God as well.
I got this, God.
No. You know what God says? You ain't got nothing. He says, man, what's the matter with you? What are you thinking? You know, if you're such a spiritual giant, why can't you see the godly principle that is playing out in your life right now? Sometimes the best thing that you can do is simply go to God and say, Lord, I am messed up. I'm depressed. I don't feel good today. My life feels like it's unraveling, and I'm not going to stand here and act like it's not. I need your help. I need you. I can't do it myself. God doesn't intend for you to do it yourself. God intends for you to allow Him to do it through you and for you. And sometimes the most faithful thing that you can do is not pretend that you're strong. Sometimes faith looks like lifting your tired hands and saying, Lord, I'm here. I don't understand everything, but I'm still yours. That's not nothing. That's participation. That's participating in His plan. That's the heart that refuses to let pain have the final word. Listen, I've known people in my life who have let pain have the final word. Doesn't mean you don't suffer. You will. But pain doesn't get the final word as we walk with our Savior. Now, I'm probably going to have to break this message into a couple of parts, but I do want to mention this. This scripture, this particular scriptural passage also lets us know that we're created in Christ Jesus. And that means that when we're created in Christ Jesus, we have a new identity. We're not who we used to be. Paul says we were created in Christ Jesus. And that phrase is incredibly important. He doesn't say that we're created in our own strength, does he? He doesn't say that we're created by our own determinations. I've known a lot of determined people, haven't you? They've been determined to do a lot of things, and it didn't cut it. But he says we are created in Christ Jesus. That means you are no longer yours. Why is it that we have such a hard time realizing that when we give our lives to Christ, we are no longer ours? We're His. We belong to Him. And you know what? Some people would say, well, this is not a politically correct statement you're getting ready to make, Pastor. We are His property when we give our life to Him. It's not you. And the really incredible thing about it is, He is now responsible for you. Are you participating? Think about children. Now, some of us in here have had wayward children before. We're not here to beat them up. We're not here to knock them down or anything else. Some of you, if you had two, generally one of them was more wayward than the other one, right? Isn't that the way it goes? Yeah? Yeah. This one over here is a little angel. This one over here has got the little devil's horns. Yeah. Now, you would never say that to them, okay? But they're completely different personalities, and you love them both. But you know what? Sometimes those children, the one that you called the good one, cooperated, was obedient, listened to what you had to say, where the other one colored outside the lines. The other one didn't listen. The other one played his own ball game, as it were. Now, it's interesting because not only are we talking about maybe you've had children that you've experienced that with your children, you were one of them as well. You were either one or the other. You were either the little angel or the little devil. And some of y'all say, well, it's a little bit of both. Maybe, maybe not. But he says we're created in Christ Jesus. That means that our identity is not built on what happened to me. That's not what my identity is built on, you know, or what people say about me. My identity is not built on what people say about me, because people have said some pretty bad things about me over time. I can tell you. And if here's the interesting part. They said some pretty bad things about you too. Not everybody loves you. But your identity is also not built on what you managed to accomplish this week at work. Your identity is not built on what you intended at work. And you see, what happens is when we do that, then we have to keep on doing things like that to try to make ourselves feel like we're needed or valued along the way. You know what Jesus said? I value you just like you are, because I created you just like you are. I have given you gifts and talents and abilities in certain areas. And you see, sometimes what happens is we get mad because God didn't give us the gifts, talents, and abilities that he gave that guy. I want his gifts, talents, and abilities. I want his easier life. I want his stress-free environment. And then what we start to do is at times, literally, we actually will begin to covet those things. Lord, why did you make me like this? I sit back and say, Lord, thank you for making me like this. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but one of the greatest, greatest things that will ever happen in your life is when you are right directly in the center of God's will for you. And what the center of God's will is for me is not the center of God's will for you. Your deepest identity is found in your union with Christ Jesus. If you belong to him, his life is shaping your life. Do you understand? That's what spiritual growth is about. When you start to know him in and through his word, when you start to know him by spending time with him in prayer, when you get to know him through sermons and through messages, when you begin to draw close to him, his life begins to change your life because you want to emulate him. If you belong to him, then his life is in the process of changing yours. His grace is defining your worth. That's important. Do you realize that? Because most of the time we're thinking that it's what we do. No, it's what he did. It's his grace that defines my worth. His cross is dealing with my sin. His resurrection is promising new life, not me. And remember what I said a moment ago? It always starts off when we want to try to improve ourselves. We always think there's something we can do, and it's not about what we can do. It's about what he has already done. This matters for the person who feels like they're stuck. Because often when we're suffering, we begin to believe that we are only what we can currently do. That's what we feel like. This is where I am. If I can serve, I matter. If I can work, I matter. If I can help, then I matter. If I can produce, I matter. But when illness comes or grief comes or depression comes or a season of waiting comes, it can feel like all usefulness has been taken away from us. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? See, we can place our worth where it doesn't belong. My worth is not because of all the things that God has allowed me to do. My worth is because he loved me and he had a plan for my life and he redeemed me through Jesus Christ. And because of that, let me say this, I am enough. And because of that, say it with me, I am enough. Say it again, I am enough. Louder, I am enough. And I believe that Jesus just smiled because he said, through me, you're exactly right. You are enough. Your worth doesn't come from what you do. Your worth comes from me. Isn't that cool? I just love that passage so much. Trying to get folks to understand that, particularly when they're in the middle of the doldrums, is often a difficult thing to do. So when it comes to that depression, when it comes to that season of waiting and it feels like your usefulness has been taken away, remember, you are enough through Christ Jesus. The gospel says you're not valuable because of your output. You're valuable because you belong to Jesus. That's it. That's why you're valuable, because you belong to him. That does not make obedience unimportant. It makes obedience possible. Did you get it? It doesn't erase good works. It gives them a rightful foundation for why we do what we do. You do not work for God's love. You work from God's love. Let me say that again. You don't work for God's love. You work from God's love. Are you understanding the position? That makes all the difference in the world. You don't serve to become his workmanship. You serve because in Christ, he has already made you a new creation. That's why you serve. And that is a comfort for a weary soul. I don't know if your soul's ever been weary, but mine has. You ever been there? You ever been there when you feel like you can't put one spiritual foot in front of the other? And you've cried out, Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I'm weary. And then what happens is most of the time we have evaluated. We have allowed ourselves to get into that position because we haven't done or performed as we feel like we should have. Our worth was being based on what we felt like we could accomplish. Because our worth was based on how many attended. Our worth was based on something outside of God's love and God's workmanship. But let me tell you, it's a comfort for a weary soul when you realize that it's about who he is and not who you are. The Lord doesn't look at you with disappointment and say, come back when you're more impressive. That's not what he does. And I know some of y'all would sit back and say, well, I know he doesn't do that. Well, then why do you act like it? That's not what he says. He comes near to me and says, I have made you mine. Now walk with me. I have made you mine. Now walk with me. Does that mean that God doesn't have expectations? No, he's got expectations. Does that mean that that everything is going to be hunky-dory and all's going to be right with the world? And there's never going to be sorrow. There's never going to be no. That's not what that means either. But what it means is that Jesus has said, look, why don't you just come take a walk with me? That's all I'm asking you to do. I'll pick the rest of it up next week, but I can tell you this. Today, some of us are right in the midst of that. I'm going to call it a spiritual funk. Is that a good term? Some of us, we're striving to be something of value to God, but we're doing it for the wrong reason. We're striving because that's where we feel like our worth comes from. Our worth comes from our relationship with him. And some of you today, you are tired. Some of you today, you are spiritually beat down. And some of you all are listening to what feels like the darkness. Some of you are questioning things that you're like, why am I questioning what I'm questioning? And some of you are finding yourself on the sidelines. Well, let me tell you what's going on today. Jesus is saying, come here. Why don't we just take a nice little walk together over there? Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what's going on. It's not that he doesn't already know, because he does. But he wants to hear from you. And you can sit back and say, Lord, my whole world's falling apart. But then when you get the right perspective, you can also say, you know what? That's okay. Because I'm His and He's mine. And there's not a thing in this world that's going to happen to me that He doesn't know about. There's not a thing in this world that's not going to happen to me that's not for His plan or for His purpose. And there's not a thing in this world that's going to happen to me that's not designed to draw me closer to Him. What is your perspective today? Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to come up. I'm going to ask our musicians to take their place, because the very first question that has to be asked is, are you one of His children? Has there been the time in your life when you have said, yes, Lord, I believe in you? Has there been that time in your life when you have been saved by grace through faith? Not because you worked for it. Once you've trusted the Lord, once you grow in His grace, once you become more like Him, He's saying, I've given you a particular set of skills. I've given you some particular abilities that I would like for you to use for my honor and for my glory. Go and use them. And some of you have, some of you have said, I'm done, I quit. I still remember some guys that thought they wanted to play football back in high school. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. They thought they wanted to play. And we always had 2 weeks of conditioning, two-a-day practices beginning August the 1st, of course the hottest time of the year. And then after 2 weeks, the pads came out. And you got to hit people. And some of the guys I played ball with lived to hit people. And then they used to come up to those guys that thought they wanted to play football. And when they got hit by that Mack train or Mack truck coming through the line, or when they got folded up in that hot, dirty August heat, they never showed back up. Folks, some of you all have been tackled hard spiritually. Some of you have been run over. It hurts. And the Lord's like, you got to get back up. And some of you have sat back and said, well, the lineman wasn't blocking. It was his fault. Quit trying to point fingers. Own your stuff. Own what's yours. Don't own what's not yours, but own yours. Because I promise you, if we start to own our stuff, we're having our hands full, aren't we? I always like to give a modern-day translation to Matthew chapter 7. I said, Matthew chapter 7 basically says, work on cleaning up your own backyard, and that way you won't have time to try to clean somebody else's up. I got enough that I need to deal with this glorious mess. And so do you. So the question is this. Maybe you're the one today that Jesus is saying, why don't you just take my hand and let's take a walk? Why don't you just tell me what's going on? And I have the solution for every bit of it. Lord, my job's this. And the Lord says, is your job your worth? Well, no. Well, my bank account, that. Is your bank account your worth? Well, no. Well, Lord, this relationship, is that relationship your worth? Because the bottom line is simply this. You are His workmanship. He created you, and He's got plans for you. I'm going to finish this up next week, but here's what you need to understand. First of all, have you trusted Jesus? If not, you need to do that today. How do you do that? Prayer is a communication tool. You can simply say, Lord, today I understand I'm a sinner, that if I were to die right now, I will spend eternity in hell. And you know what? You could die this very day. You could die this very moment. And people go, you're trying to scare people into heaven. I'm just giving you the facts. There's been a whole lot of people who've walked out the doors of churches with good intentions to come back, and they never made it back. Automobile accident, heart attack, whatever the case may be. if you were to draw your last breath right now, do you know that you would see Jesus? If not, I beg you to cry out to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe what you accomplished on Calvary's cross and through your resurrection. Forgive my sins and save my soul. And help me, Lord, to follow you as I should. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And listen, if you did that, he heard you because he was knocking on the door and you answered it. Now, you've opened the door. How about being a good Southerner and saying, Lord, come on in. Can I get you something to drink? Let's sit down. Let's talk a little bit. Let's get to know each other. And listen, we want to celebrate with you. If you trusted Jesus today, in just a moment we sing our invitation in, please come down here and let me know. We're not going to embarrass anybody, but listen, that's why we're here. We'd love to celebrate with you. Maybe you're here today and the Lord just gave you a swift kick in the britches. That's a good country word, in the britches, because all of a sudden we've evaluated, the Holy Spirit's kind of held that microscope up to our life, and we've been doing the wrong things, or maybe even the right things, but for the wrong reasons. And the Lord's saying, look, man, I'm not caring about all this stuff over here. I care about me and you. And what happens over there should be the outpouring of me and you. Plain and simple. Maybe today the Lord has said, take my hand. Let's go take a walk. Let's talk a little bit. Maybe you need to get some things right with him. If you do, the altar's here. I am here. If you've trusted Christ, whatever the Lord's put on your heart today, deal with it during this time while the Lord's conviction is there. Don't let Satan win. Would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn, number 134, as Brad leads us. Close. Think about that for a minute. Jesus paid it all, and that's exactly what we've been talking about. All to him I owe. It is about our walk with him. What is he speaking into your heart and into your life today? I pray, I beg you, deal with it while he is dealing with you right now. As we continue to spend time dealing with the Lord's presence in our life, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. Father, we thank you again for the moments that we have to be able to spend around your word and, Lord, to hear from your spirit. And today, as we continue to worship by returning to you the tithe and the offering, Father, this may be one of those places and areas that you've blessed us in. But, Lord, you give us an opportunity to participate in your work. And Father, here's one of the ways to be able to do that. I pray that we might truly be found faithful. We ask, Lord, that you would bless those who give. And then, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be wise stewards of what belongs to you, that we may properly use what is yours to reach your kingdom. And, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.